We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what's up, guys? Checking in. Hopefully you can hear me. Like to do the little test 1, 2, make sure you guys are catching everything loud and clear.
Sounds great,
Andrew.
Jake.
Good. We're back. Andrew, what's up, man?
It's great to be here. Very excited to do this show. It's for the first time this year that we've gotten together and shared a mock draft. So, or done our both of our own, whatever. I guess we're not sharing, but yeah, I'm just excited to be back and talking draft. It's good to be here.
Yeah, we're going to battle. We're going to dueling mock draft this thing where at the end, as we have done for years, this is old school stuff now, you guys let us know which mock draft you like the most. Now, as a limit to this, Andrew, we will say one trade maximum. So sure. We can obviously when you do these simulators, I think they present like a trade at every spot that I think is sometimes the most appealing thing in the world. But we'll limit it to one trade for this mock purpose. And yeah, let's just go at it, man. I'm going to throw kind of wanted to pause it at like pick 35 range. That's like the maximum that you could trade up into, in my opinion, and kind of talk through what everybody else has selected close to it. I feel like this is going to be relatively decent for what's actually going to happen. Now, again, Andrew's board, the way Pro Football Focus values players is a little different than the Pro Football Network one that I am using. So guys available in my spot might not be available in Andrew's spot, so on and so forth. But names that we would be interested in drafting into the second round, like obviously Rashee Rice is like, I don't know what's going to happen with that, a minimum of a suspension. So I think the heat was already on for the Chiefs to select a wide receiver at 32. It pretty much is one of the more set in stone, in my opinion, spots for a wide receiver. So they go Ladd McConkey, and then the next two picks of the second round are guys that would be, no pun intended, worthy of moving up for if you wanted to. You have Keon Coleman of Florida State, who Andrew and I are both huge fans of his game.
Yep.
And then Xavier Worthy, the production, you know, obviously a huge, hugely, hugely productive player at Texas who can flat out run, right? Mm-hmm. Those two are gone. So at this spot for me, I have some concerns about A.D. Mitchell that I'm not crazy about like needing to move up for that player. Obviously hyper talented, great athlete, but there's some questions about I think some of his effort at times and things away from when he's going to be in the heat of the moment that are a little bit like not sure I would want to go chasing him. If he's there when you pick, it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't see anybody on my board, Andrew. I'm really interested in chasing right this second. Maybe 10 picks from now, like a Kingsley becomes a guy that I'd be interested in like moving up a little bit for, but I think right now I'm feeling pretty confident. I don't know. Did yours already simulate out to?
Yeah, I ran it out to 54 because I think the chances of them trading up where they are with the number of picks they have left are just, I think it's, you know, famous last words. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's very slim, especially to get into the late 30s or early 40s. You're talking about next year's second, I think, at a minimum, right? So,
right.
I don't think they want to be trading future year draft compensation into this year's draft. I think they, if anything, are more likely to do the opposite of that.
Of course, their evidence is definitely shown us they prefer to go the other direction in these. And obviously, when you're down picks, makes a ton of sense. I will say guys that you could maybe get interested in the mid 40s are gone. Like Rook is gone, and then Kingsley's gone. Jalen Polk is gone. So I'm certainly at the spot for me that I'm going to sit at pick 54 and see what options are there. Now, again, if you know anything about Pro Football Network, they have some wild offers that come through. Right. So I don't think that New Orleans is going to, I mean, although 54 for like a next year second and potentially a fourth could make some sense. I don't know that New Orleans is going to be interested in that. Now, this one for Miami would get interesting. You'd pick up an extra pick at 158. I feel like to just move one pick, that's a little bit much.
Yeah, but that's always plus value.
Yeah,
to move a single pick.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't intend on moving out of any of these later picks,
right?
Unless I was moving forward. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm talking about.
Just gives us one more player to talk about, right?
Yeah. So we'll take that one, and then I've got a fantastic offer here that I can't. Yeah, I can't.
That's. Accept. I mean, that's we're hilarious. Gonna get out.
Yeah, it's a little inconsistent. So we'll just – who's here? We'll consider the players on the board. I want to get to 55. I'm going to be 55. I picked up 158. Let's show your board real quick, Andrew. If you want to, like, just scroll up a little bit and see who was taken just in front of your side.
Yeah. So, Braden Fisk there, Xavier Leggett, Adisa Isaac. Ricky Pearsall went two picks ahead to the Rams at 52. A little bit further up, you've got Xavier Worthy at 43. Our guy Sandra still at 41. A.D. Mitchell at 40. Keon Coleman went 37. Troy Franklin 36. So, yeah, I think that feels about right.
Some big differences in player value, PFN. Sandra still has 98 on their board.
Oh, that's wild.
Yep. Interesting stuff there. Okay, so, yeah, let's have you make your first pick. And there's some good options there, man.
Yeah, no, I rolled a 20 here. I've got basically anybody you could want for the Browns. If this happened for them at 54, I guarantee you they're not trading down because there's just enough players here.
Yeah.
So obviously Kingsley, Suamataya, is that right? How are we saying that?
I feel like the second way Suamataya feels Suamataya. A lot more correct.
Let's do that. And then Jermaine Burton. I think those maybe are two guys that they would be pretty excited about. Rook Orohoro. Is also probably up there.
We know they like Kieran. They're bringing him in.
Yeah, they like the Yale tackle. I think this maybe, I mean, maybe he's a second round player. Maybe he would be the option if Suamataya wasn't there, where you could switch to Amagadeji.
Yeah, I'm leaving those to
you. I'm getting a workout here today. Yep. Jalen Polk is another name that I've really like more recently. I think he just got overshadowed by Adunze, but he's a really good player in his own right.
He can play.
I like Chris Jenkins. I don't think they go interior with the first pick, especially with these other options. And then I think that, well, you know, the guys like Tez Walker a little bit further down. But I think that's kind of those are the highlights. I mean, if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm very excited to turn in the card on the BYU tackle because I think having a player that they could pair with DeJuan Jones and have cheap tackles for the next 4 years is almost kind of a superpower for a team that's trying to deal with the quarterback contract the way that they are. So I think that's the move here. Although would you say Jermaine Burton is almost as tempting given the testing that he did at the pro day recently?
Yeah, he is definitely a fringe top 50 player. I think he is, again, a guy at Alabama who's a little overshadowed by their offensive struggles early in the year. I think that he would be on their board. They'd be very interested in him if Kingsley was not there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jatavion Sanders, the testing for him.
Yeah, we should have talked about Sanders, yeah.
Well, Sanders, like, I mean, listen, I understand that the wide receiver, you know, tight ends are pretty big wide receiver guys these days, but, I mean, 8 bench reps at 225 is really jarring to be able to hold anything at the line. You're almost making yourself a slot wide receiver at that point. Like, that made me really uncomfortable. Unless that number's just completely off,
right?
I could see the appeal to it, but I don't know. I don't feel like they're in a rush at 54 to draft that player. So
yeah.
I'm gonna hold off on interest there. But there, I mean, like, again, that board has a lot of, and you're gonna have some fun names up at pick 85 too.
That's what I'm thinking, which is why I think there's not another player like Suamataya anywhere else left, you know, in terms of a player that I think could start this year but the Browns wouldn't obviously need that. So it's almost kind of a, in a way, a luxury pick for them, but a smart pick to start rebuilding the offensive line long term. So that's who I'm picking.
Right. I think that the thing that we're talking about here is, we say this every year, but the Browns like to draft a year out in advance, exactly. Right? There's no doubt. But you got to be a little bit careful because, I mean, you think that some of these guys won't have a role this year. And it's like, if you're thinking they're pretty good football players, they're going to find the field. So, like,
right.
I think that there's a little too much stock put into that at times. But, like, your pick is Kingsley Suamatea, I think is how we're saying that. Hopefully, Kingsley, we're getting that right for you, man, trying our best here, is a great pick there. He is not available on my board. So I'm in a little bit more of a pickle. I mean, there are some linebackers I really like here between Edrin Cooper and, you know, Junior Colson, the Michigan kid. Obviously, defensive tackles that we're drawn to, and Michael Hall, right? I think he's a nice football player. I'm not sure if 55 is the spot I'd love to snag him, but he's the testing and stuff was really strong. Braden Fisk is obviously a guy's put together a great offseason. You know, I really love Ricky Pearsall, but
yep.
I think you do fall into this situation where Pearsall's 24. So you have to really, a couple things. I don't think age should stop you from taking a player, but I do think you have to consider the Browns are all in on Judy, buzzing about an extension for Amari Cooper. And then you still have Cedric Tillman, who you have 3 years minimum left investment in him. And then you have other pieces they've had around. So, like, you have to absolutely love Pearsall, who's a top 50 player on a lot of evaluators' boards, and I think is a very good football player. But I do think that there's an overcrowding that can happen there. So you have to, again, you're drafting him at 24 thinking he's coming in and taking Elijah Moore's role. Like, he's rendering Elijah Moore useless. So, like, I'm of the belief that I don't prohibit my team from selecting someone 24 in the second round. First round, different conversation. Second round, I think you should move off of that. But again, Andrew, I think that there's no evidence of them doing that. So you're a little bit slow in trying to emulate what they'll do. So I would probably say I would hold off on Pearsall a little bit. And, you know, there's some others I like here. Jalen McMillan, I think, is a really fun football player. But if I'm looking in the 50s with who's available, just like, obviously I like Trey Benson a good amount, but as a running back in their first open slot, a decision they're going to make, I have a hard time believing that. Maybe now the extra pick that I've created at 158, it's a bit more appealing. So I think here I'm going to take a linebacker I think could be really good with JOK into the future in Edrin Cooper. So I'm going to select Cooper at this spot, 55, and we'll run mine out. Let's go over to you. I think you might be up now with your next spot.
I am, yeah. So recapping what happened since we picked Kingsley there, Kieran Amagadeji goes right after. So you know, that gives you an idea of where he's going, at least in this one. Roro off the board. Jermaine Burton goes to the Ravens. Of course, that's how that goes, right? And so you see Tez Walker there, Sanders gets drafted, Jalen Polk in the top of the third round. Who's the other name here? The other one, Malachi Corley, ends up with the Bengals at 80, which is a player that I would have been excited to find.
He went 50 on this one, 50 okay. to the Eagles. So right. Just a variety of different wide receiver opinion there.
So Jake, I'm listening to what you're saying about wide receiver, and I really agree with you. Especially if you don't get one at 54 that you think can come in and play, then do you kind of wait to day three and try and focus somewhere else with this third round pick? And so looking at who's available, you know, Blake Fisher, but you've already gone tackle, right? I really don't think running back is in consideration day two, period. I like Cameron Kitchens a fair amount, but the problem you run into with a lot of these rooms, Jake, is where do these guys go? Where are they? Do they, you know, how do they fit on the existing roster, right?
Yeah, it's challenging to see, you know, because on my side, you talk about you took a tackle. There's three playable tackles right now.
Right.
You put a fourth in play.
I know.
It's tricky because you are looking at a year out, but it's like, you know, I'm talking about on my side at 85, like Sainstrel's there, and it's like, I think that guy is a football, but like,
Yeah.
They haven't traded Greg Newsome yet. So what do we know? Right. Like it's very low.
And you lose your leverage to trade him if you draft a cornerback sure day do. Two, because now you know they've got it. They won't pick up the option basically at that point, right? They can't.
It's a luxury to be in a spot where you don't need many guys. So you are trying to keep an eye out a year away. So if you're talking tackles, which you did a good job of earlier, Andrew, both Jack Conklin, and as we know, unless Jedrick Wills has this complete turnaround season, is probably on the way out too. So you are preparing to have a tackle answer. At corner, little different situation. You have Newsome already. I mean, we haven't heard for sure yet. The fifth-year option is likely to be picked up in that scenario. It's not impossible. It wouldn't be, but it's likely. You have two. You have a youngster in Cam Mitchell you like a lot. There's room to continue to add to that spot, but like, and especially linebacker, you're talking JOK needs an extension.
Yep.
We think that's going to happen, but we don't know for sure until they actually do extend the linebacker. And we know they're always playing the 1 year rotating door veteran next to him. But would it be appealing to have a youngster to pair with a second contract JOK and be one of the teams in this division that values linebackers like crazy to have that solved a little bit? Fingers crossed. None of these things are for sure, but you know, take a real swing there. That's where I'm kind of like, I can see that route in the 50s being appealing, but also in the 80s as well. Yes. And you know, wide receivers got so many guys,
right?
It's so tempting there too.
Yeah. To your point, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. here, some people love him, some people hate him. He would be a pick that I think would make sense here for the Browns. Yeah. The other one that I think makes sense is Mason McCormick. Although at that point you're doubling up at offensive line, but there's a level of sense to that, Jake, in terms of where they're trying to go with this team. They're going to need to get cheaper at some positions. And if they love McCormick and see him as a value at 85, now you've got a long-term, affordable solution at three offensive line spots between Jones, Suamataya, and McCormick. That's three-fifths of your offensive line you've got locked in for cheap, and postage isn't that expensive. So you're most of the way there.
You're looking. We talked about this with Jack a little bit, Duffin, our colleague. They're heavily over what the projection would be to spend on O-line this year.
Yeah.
They're going to have to flip the script as these wide receivers get more expensive, so on and so forth. Yep. So you're in the process, if you do that selection, Andrew, of setting yourself up to do that the following year. And again, you know, Joel Bitonio dealt with back injuries last year that were obviously not something you want from a veteran. And we know that there's been chunks of seasons missed from Wyatt Teller.
Right.
So it's not like you're taking line. I mean, listen, the Bengals were probably like the gold standard of health of an O-line last year. The Browns are on the complete flip side of that for the most part. So like, you know, it's a position that is, if you're a sixth or seventh guy, you're probably going to play a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah. They do have Michael Dunn, who obviously they like, but he's on a 1 year rental situation at this point too. So I could see that being the pick. I think the pick I will make is another position we haven't really talked about much yet, which is the defensive interior,
right?
Where they have a ton of 1 year players, right? They just invested in the gigantic Samoan last year, whose name is Siaki Ika. So he's there, but other than that, it's Tomlinson in terms of a multi-year commitment. I guess they did give a 2 year contract to Shelby Harris, but regardless, the other guys, Maurice Hurst being on a 1 year deal and Quentin Jefferson being on a 1 year deal. Now you've got two guys that you need to replace next year. I think Michael Hall is a value at 85, even though PFF's got him lower than that. I think in reality, probably is around the back end of the second round to the beginning of the third round. So
yeah,
I'm going to take Michael Hall here and build from the trenches. I think that's the route I'm going to go.
Let's see if they can hit on, hitting on one of these guys in the third round to just be a real rotational piece is something they badly need. And I like some of the traits that are the antithesis of what Siaki Ika was bringing in last year.
Right.
So I'm into Michael Hall in that range. I think PFF has him a little lower. Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We at the OBR are proud to once again be sponsored by Game Time Ticket Application. It is one of the best on the market where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't feel stressful, and they don't feel stressful. It's a quick and easy process to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, anything you want for any event near you. Game Time has you covered. They have killer deals all throughout the process, including last-minute tickets with the best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over the availability and price of those tickets and just start looking forward to your event. I know that's how it was for us. My wife really wanted some Justin Timberlake concerts for her birthday. I went to Game Time. Easy process. Lets you look at the seating map, figure out where you can sit, have the view from the seats. They showed some flash deals that were available to get the best price, and that price was guaranteed even for event cancellation, job loss protection, all the above. Great seats for the concert. Made me a hero in the household. I'm telling you guys, Game Time is the place for the last minute ticket deals, or even if you're planning way out in advance, they have deals going on all the time. Like I said, those exclusive flash deals for any game you care about, concert you care about, theater experience, whatever. You have that Game Time guarantee, which means you'll get that assurance for the best price available for those tickets. If you find a better seat, better price for less, they'll credit you 110% of the difference there, guys. That's important. So grab your Game Time tickets today. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code OBR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code OBR for $20 off. Download that Game Time app today or go to gametime.co to take advantage of the last-minute tickets you can find at the lowest price guaranteed. So since we selected at 55 names that you would probably hear the Browns connected to a little bit, Braylon Allen, the Wisconsin running back, heads to Houston, continuing the Bengals. Looks like they make a trade here to get Chris Jenkins, a defensive tackle from Michigan.
Xavier Leggett going to 70 is interesting.
That is very interesting. It's like the back end of his range.
Right.
If he's here at 85, I'd be like, go make it happen.
For sure.
Peyton Wilson, a very respected early in the process linebacker, slid down a little bit. He's 71. Pearsall goes 74 to Atlanta. Man, that's a Kirk Cousins would have a really good group to throw the football to. 76 Junior Colson goes to the Colts. That would make a lot of sense for them. Michael Hall, you mentioned you took him at 85 on your side. He goes 81st here to the Seahawks on my side. So pick right before me, the Colts take Jalen McMillan, a wide receiver out of Washington, a pretty fun player. I think, again, you're talking about Polk and Romo Odunze overshadowing somebody, man. You're really looking at McMillan's tape, and you're like, God, that guy would have thrived in a lot of different places. Anyway, let's have a look around. I mean, Marshawn Nealon had one of the best edge workouts at his size, 6'3", 260 with a 9.54 RAST, relative athletic score number there. Talk about a moldable piece of clay, right? And again, reminder, I took at 54 on my side. I took the linebacker, 55. We moved back a spot. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M. So, guys, I'm interested in, like, Renardo Green. Go back, turn on that Florida State LSU game. You know, Brian Thomas and obviously are
some guys that can play.
Neighbors are going to be at the top of everybody's first round lists at times here. I'm talking like Renardo Green gave him hell. He can play. Kieran, how did you say that one again? I think I screwed it up. No, I think you got it just right. Amita Gattage. I don't know. Yale offensive tackle whose name we need put into parentheses with some phonetic spelling. That's the spot.
Amagaji? I'm going to go with Amagaji.
Amagaji sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Austin Booker, very athletic edge out of Kansas. Our boy Mike Sainstrill's there.
He's still available on there?
He's 98th on their board.
Man, oh, man. I mean, I'm doing that 100 times out of 100 at 85.
Jermaine Burton is at 106 on this board. Blake Fisher, nice offensive tackle out of Notre Dame.
This board is just wrong then. Cool.
It feels like it is very different in some spots.
I mean, Burton is, you know, not a top 100 player. I don't know, man. With those testing scores?
I would agree. It's a little like some of these names are,
it just feels a little old. Like it feels out of date.
Yeah, like if you look at some of the guys who are selected like way near the above, like I think it's kind of interesting. Some of these guys who are selected mm-hmm. right before, like Malachi Corley's and yeah. sort of third round. This is how it goes though. Draft boards yeah. are different sure. everywhere. I think if Sainer still is there, I Super know expensive. It's a luxury selection, and I really am tempted. You're going to have an argument inside the coach's office of taking Amagadije. Hopefully we're saying that right. The tackle from Yale, who they like, or you're talking about Sainer still, who I think is just going to be like a decade-long effective cornerback in the league.
He's just going to be a pro. He's going to be a pro no matter what.
He is going to be a really good defensive back in the NFL. I think you could put him in the slot and feel really good about it like day one. But the tricky part is knowing internally how engaged the Browns are with keeping Greg Newsome. I think if I'm saying best player on the board, he's the best player on the board for me. And I think the Browns are in the spot where they're taking the best player on the board. So I'm just going to take Sainer still at pick 85, and then we're all the way out to 156. So I will let Andrew go. Maybe the couple picks in front of you we can take a look at.
Yeah, to see it's a long run. It's going to be a long beginning of day three because there's just nothing, man. It gets real quiet. So
you do have some trade offers there. I mean, I don't know if you're interested. You haven't made your one trade.
Yeah, I mean, the way PFF does this, I don't fully. The Dolphins want to come up from 158. That just feels.
So it's like, you know, set your price.
Right, yeah. So it's like the Patriots with pick 180. I mean, could you get something like that? No. So if I can't get a fourth, I don't know why would I want to? Yeah. I don't know. As far as players that went recently, Braylon Allen going 144 seems crazy to me. I guess if I had been going pick by pick, I would have tried to move up to pick him. I think that makes a ton of sense for the Browns as a young player who still has some developing to do. Other names that I recognize, which is a funny game in and of itself. I like Ben Sinnott. I know a lot of people like Ben Sinnott as a tight end, and then Theo Johnson right after. And then I think both those tackles, LaMea from Utah and then Walter Rouse from Oklahoma are both decent tackles. So kind of gives you a sense of what's going on. I don't honestly love this board for the Browns, but it's also this is where the PFF stuff really hits, because it's like some of these names I'm not 100% clear on.
Right.
Where they tend to inflate these guys in a way that, I know Malik Mustafa just blew up his pro day. Joe Milton threw the hell out of the ball, but I don't think it feels very early for him to go. James Williams is a player that I really like as a safety. I think maybe I saw on PFN's draft board he's listed as a linebacker, so he's in that sort of a place. The name that I'm drawn to here, Jalen Simpson is another one that I have selected in other mock drafts before, yeah. And like I know that they like those SEC safeties, you know.
They sure do.
But the name that I'm drawn to here is Jaheim Bell, because I love the idea of them getting that move tight end second option. If they're going to be running a lot more spread offense, a lot more wide open, having a tight end that gives you flexibility inside, outside, matchup issues, kind of like the guy they signed, Gio Ricci, and is much more of an athlete than Jordan Akins. That's a player that I can get excited about. So I think he's probably just like a plus athlete version of the guy, Giovanni Ricci, that they just signed from the Panthers. So I'm going to take him and kind of say, I don't know if it's Akins who goes or if Ricci goes, or maybe they carry four tight ends, but two of them are kind of fullback tight end hybrids. It's interesting to me how they're going to kind of change their usage of that position if they're really getting away from being under center that much. So, but I like watching him. He's a really tough player, which is what you look for, I think, when you get these undersized tight ends. You want them to be real ornery because they have to make up for their lack of size, and I think he has that, so I'm taking him.
Do me a favor real quick. Where is Jonah Ellis rank on the board?
He went early, early. He was on my board at 54, but he was gone soon after. I'll look up as soon as I
Yeah, like so on the side that I'm on, there were two wide receivers taken between 85 and 156 here that I was really interested in selecting if they're available. Malik Washington out of Virginia, who has a really strong profile pass, for creating yards after the catch. And then Javon Baker, but I think he's rated too low. Alabama transfer to UCF, like that guy can play. He's going in the top 100. I feel pretty confident in that statement. Zach Zenter would have been of interest for me at pick 150. I think Tyke Smith is rated way too low here, is going as the safety going to Washington at this spot. So we're up at 156 and then a 158 again. So, I mean, Jonah Ellis and Jaheim Bell are on the board here.
Yeah, Jonah Ellis in my draft went 57.
Yeah, I mean, he was so productive at Utah. And I understand there are some concerns about some of the size stuff here. I don't know what the athletic testing ended up being for him. But, I mean, I understand that boards break and all that stuff. But I have to take him here. Just by sheer nature of, like, this guy's falling down the board. Elijah Jones from Boston College, a corner, goes in between. And then, you know, a guy I'm really interested in as we kind of scroll through here and look, there's like some interesting players in Xavier Thomas. There's some interesting players available, but a guy I'm really drawn to is if you're looking at like drawing out the running back room for a while, Isaac Guarindo from Louisville is a really fun player that has one of the better testing scores on nearly flawless testing score, wide zone runner for Louisville. I think if he's here and you're talking about we gained a pick in this trade with Miami where we added 158 to just move back one spot, I'm going to take the running back in that spot and just add it to like the chance of the future. So
it's one of the few skill sets they don't have at running back right now. They do not have a true burner.
You hope Hines can be that, a 4.35 guy. But again, he's older now and he's coming off an ACL. So you're a little cautious about, is the burst still there? And the thing about Guarindo is he's 6 foot, 225, 230 pound. Like he's not 5'8".
Right. He's not a track
165.
Guy.
So like he's a real dude. And I hope that if there's a chance he's there, there'd be a lot of interest. Let's put it that way. All right. Let's go back over to your side, Andrew. You were up at 206, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's right. Jonah Ellis apparently didn't work out because he's got a shoulder injury.
So. All right, so he's sliding down the board, and we're taking advantage of it. All
exactly.
Right.
So there you go. You picked up a value there. Late in the draft, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know a lot of these names. There's a few of these guys that I have picked before. Johnny Dixon is a player that
recap your picks real quick if you can, Andrew.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah, let's see how to do that here.
I don't think they do a very. You're gonna have to scroll. PFF is like not figured out.
Right. Okay. So I've got Jaheim Bell, tight end, move tight end with 156. Before that, we had Michael Hall at 85, and then prior to that, we had Kingsley Suamataya at tackle from BYU at 54. So those are my three picks so far. So I feel pretty good about where I'm at. I don't feel like they have any further pressing needs. You could maybe talk about running back in terms of just adding a player that can stick around for a while. The player I'm actually most interested in is at the top of my draft board. Jalen Green is an athletic edge player from James Madison who I've looked at a few times. He's a little older, but he get hurt, but he's a really fun player to watch. I think could be a fun bet at the edge position that I like later in the draft.
Good stuff. I like it. On my side, I am looking to add if the right player is there along the interior. So I'll recap real quick. Edgen Cooper, 55. We moved back a pick to gain pick 158. We took flexible defensive back Mike Sainer still from Michigan. Took Jonah Ellis, who somehow, maybe there's a hit video put out on him, slid down to 156. I almost feel dirty for selecting him there because it's so far down what's realistic. Isaac Guarindo, and then we're up at 206 and 243. I am drawn to looking at athletes, man. Like right here, I want as many athletes as I can find. Gabriel Murphy, the UCLA edge, an interesting player. I think a lot higher on some boards than this one. I don't really have much of an interest now in linebackers. Logan Lee from Iowa, relatively interesting. Not in love with that there. The guy I'm drawn to is Dylan McMahon, this offensive guard out of NC State. Good size. And again, you're talking about guys who run well, who are indicative of being guys who end up performing well. It's just a weird correlation along the offensive line. And I want to take the thing I keep talking about. I want to take, you know, the late picks swing on athletes. That's the upside. It's not age. It's not to me. I think a 23-year-old athlete who's fully developed and is a 9.5 relative athletic score. A guy who's 21, I'll take the 23-year-old who I know is this athlete. And I just would rather go that route to see if there's something there. These guys are the guys who can adjust and fit the mold better. Now there are guys who can be poor testers and still be good football players, but I'm talking late in the 200s, even, you know, 150s and beyond. I want guys who can run, who can
bet
jump
on traits
and can change direction. So I'll take Dylan McMahon to add to the offensive line. I have not added anybody there, and I like that addition. So we'll go back to you, Andrew.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So I've got my last pick here, 243, seventh round. Everybody's moved on to other things with their day at this point. A few names. I think Curtis Jacobs is maybe doesn't fit their profile at linebacker, but I like the player, I guess, is what I would say. Mm-hmm. Josiah Ezerim is one from Eastern Kentucky that's a small school player, but has at least the body type to play tackle in the NFL. So that's pretty rare to find at this point in the draft. Edifuan Olofosio, from Washington, is a very athletic linebacker, which I think would appeal to them. And then the name that I'm shocked is here is Jared Wiley. This is another PFF draft board snafu. Yeah. I don't think there's any way he's a seventh round player. So those are kind of the names that jump out to me. I don't know if you see anybody that you want to talk about.
No, it's amazing. There's two Kingsleys in this draft.
Yeah.
That's always an interesting. Blake Watson, Memphis running back, had a really good Shrine Bowl, and he tested really well. He ran really well. A name to consider, a productive player. Again, a little older, but is really productive and was the best running back at the Shrine Bowl. And then there's, as you kind of scroll up a little bit if you can, I'll try to take a little bit more of a peek. Some people really like Trevin Wallace. Curtis Jacobs, not a guy that graded out very well, but athletic linebacker, special teamer type. Right. But again, here it's just like this is like deep in the Browns scouting realm of we fell in love with this person. And that's what they'd be doing. Right. It's so hard for us to know.
Yeah. And really in the seventh round, this late in the draft, you're 20 picks from the end. You're just trying to get a leg up on a priority UDFA, essentially. So,
yeah, I agree.
You know, I really mirror what you said, Jake, in terms of like wanting to draft players with athleticism. So I think a Olofosio is that kind of a player, and I think they probably have a room in the linebacker room for a late drafted player because they've got the starting guys, you know, and then they've got a flyer on Devin Bush, but I think there's a decent chance he doesn't even make the team. So
they didn't pay him accordingly, right? Even like a series, not that the payment stops everything for these guys, guaranteed dollars, but if they don't even give you that investment, they're saying, hey man, you got to really show us that you're worth our time. All right, so we'll switch back to mine real quick and close out. I Gabriel Murphy is still here. He's an above nine relative athletic score. I will select him here. And it's funny, my picks have been mostly defense for today. So I took Edrin Cooper, the linebacker out of Texas A&M, Mike Sanders still corner out of Michigan, 85, 156, Jonah Ellis, the edge out of Utah, who fell down way too far. Gained pick 158 from moving back from 54 to 55. Took Isaac Rendo, the running back from Louisville. Dylan McMahon, the offensive guard out of NC State at 206. And then 243 is Gabriel Murphy, the edge from UCLA. So I think Pro Football Focus's draft boards is the more accurate of the two in terms of like what's more of the consensus around the draft here. But, you know, we work with what we got, Andrew. We do what we can. And I think that I had to pick these guys or they're available. Who am I to say no? Right.
Yeah, I think it's a great draft. And I think if the Browns end up with four of the six picks being or three of the five or however you want to say it being defense, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because it's about, as we said at the beginning, it's about the long term view of the positions. And then it's about finding value at places. And I think that's exactly what you did. So Would it be surprising to me if the first three picks were all on defense? Yeah, but if that's the way the board falls and that's where the value is, you've got to do it.
Agreed. Can't worry too much about balance or something of the like. They just got to take their guy they have graded the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like the players that I got at 54 and 85 won't be available in the real draft at those spots. So obviously I feel good about that. PFF is lower on Michael Hall than I think the NFL scouting community is in general. And obviously quite a bit lower on Jaheim Bell, but he's a fun player to watch. If you haven't watched him play, throw on one or two YouTube videos of him and enjoy. He's a fun player. So,
yeah.
And then late, you're just betting on athleticism and trying to find a guy that can plug in and be a depth player for you for a few years. So I would be very excited about this draft just because I think finding two players that are building blocks along the line is a win considering you don't have a first round pick.
Right. I like Jalen Green at 206. I like Olufosio there at 243, a depth linebacker getting ahead of the priority free agent game. And I wanted to find a tight end. I had my eye on Tanner McLaughlin, the kid out of Arizona that I really like, but he was gone. Looking at the first round just for fun, the Browns would have in this situation selected, 22nd?
Am 23, I right? The Brian Thomas 23. Pick, which okay. hurts.
Yeah, you could have had Brian Thomas, right? So there's a selection.
Look at that run on tackles to end.
How many tackles did they have? Because the record is 7 in a first round.
There's 4 in a row here.
Right.
5 with Alt there. 6. So that's 8 at least. Yeah, 8. 9 with Graham Barton.
That's amazing.
Nuts.
Tackles and wide receivers.
Over a quarter of the first round was tackles.
Gee, many Christmas. People are looking for them. And you still got a pretty good one. On my side, you have... I don't think anything out of the ordinary. Jaden Daniels going 2 now seems like it's almost going to happen. Malik Nabers going to the Chargers. That's a fun landing spot for him. Rome paired with Caleb Williams. That's fun. J.J. McCarthy ends up going 11 to the Vikings. Brock Bowers. So they'd have Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer together in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he went to Vegas in mine too.
So Brian Thomas goes 16 in this draft to Seattle. That just continue to add wide receivers there. I guess the Bengals taking Amarius Mims. Who do you have? They also
the Seahawks at 16, and then I've got I flipped it back over. I've got the Rams taking McCarthy at 19. A little slip down the board for him there. So
you have the Bengals taking Graham Barton, right? Yep. Interesting.
That's right.
So I have the Steelers in this one selecting would be a good pick for them. Troy Fautano, the Washington offensive tackle. Boy, there are a lot of really good offensive tackles in this one. Mm-hmm. And then the Browns selection at 23 would have been Byron Murphy, which would have been a fun pick too. First round defensive tackle there. So, all right. Fun stuff, man. I think these are great. Next time we get together, we're either going to peel in some people from the AFC North, or we'll try to do one where you guys get to fan vote. I like doing that too. So we'll try our best to keep these moving different directions and continue to throw more names out so that we have more names under our belt when we get to the draft at the end of the month. We're in April, man. It's crazy. It's going to be here before we know it. And like Andrew Berry said, this will probably be a pretty boring draft. Hopefully the last boring draft for the Browns before they get a little more involved in the first round and all that fun stuff. But
again, I appreciate Andrew making our job so much easier by saying, yeah, this is going to be boring. Nobody should pay attention.
Yeah, that's always good for business. So
yeah, we appreciate that, Andrew. Thank you.
But fun stuff. So we will post this at the OBR tomorrow. You can have this in podcast form if you'd like to re-listen to it, or if you're new listening to it in the podcast form. Thanks for listening. And for you guys hanging out, we appreciate you taking some time for us at the OBR and the OBR Film Breakdown podcast. Guys, thanks again. Be well. Go Browns.